The last time that we saw Joseph, he was standing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh had just brought him out of the prison. He'd been in prison for something that he did not do. And he was facing hardship that he did not deserve. Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 8. And you can follow along. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came 7 cows, sleek and fat. And they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, and he sent for all the magicians and the wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but no one could interpret it. We began last week with recognizing that God has heroes, and he's sprinkled them all through his word. But he hadn't stopped when Bible times stopped. He continues on even today because he has heroes that still walk among us. Sometimes we never know who they are because things are done in secret. But God knows, and the rewards are there. Usually they're very normal people, but they're touched by God to do some great and admirable things. A hero is someone who does something sacrificial, something courageous, above and beyond the call of duty, if you would. We've seen that in our nation. We've seen that in our churches even. As we look at the heroes of faith in Scripture and in contemporary history, we find out that they are all shapes and sizes and genders and in different time spans. God's not bound just to one little thing. He makes sure that his blessings flow and spread among us. In our text today and in what we're going to be covering today, we're going to see the unseen hand of God at work in a hero's life. This man called Joseph. We're also going to see what God did for Joseph and know that what he did for Joseph, he can do for us, and he will do for us. He knows exactly where we are. We know he knows exactly what we're facing. He knows in his time exactly what's going to happen. And he knows how to bring us out of our own little prisons, whatever they may be. It might be a prison of fear or poverty or whatever it might be. But God knows how to set us free from that. So we join in with Joseph, and we see his travel from the prison to the palace. You see, that's all within the providence of God. We read it. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 41 of Genesis. Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, and I imagine he needed that after being in that prison, he came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." To anyone looking at the life of Joseph, you would have thought that God had forgotten him. Time had gone by. 2 full years since he had helped the butler and the baker. And he had interpreted their dreams. And he asked the butler, "Whenever you're restored, remember me. Tell Pharaoh about me." It wasn't God's timing. So the butler forgot all about Joseph. God was teaching Joseph to wait. You know, sometimes patience is the hardest thing to have. I remember early in my ministry, I saw these elders that I admired so much. And they were so patient and so confident with God. And I said, "Oh God, give me patience." He did. He gave me a children's church with about 45 kids that had never been in church before. They were climbing the walls. They took the screen out and opened the windows and escaped. I had to go chase them down. One thing about patience, in order for you to have patience, you have to use that patience. Patience is not something you can put in your pocket. It's something that you apply in your life. And God was teaching Joseph patience, how to wait. So God put him in a waiting room, if you would, kind of like he does us sometimes. He might make a promise, or his promise might be alive in front of us, but nothing's happening. That's one of the waiting rooms of life. And we all have to live with that. Learn to deal with that. Learn to get along with that and be happy with it, knowing that in his time, everything will happen just the way that God said. So in spite of his situation, in spite of what was going on, in spite of being in prison, Joseph waited upon God and trusted him. And you need to do the same thing. There was providential dreams all along the way. When Pharaoh got up the next morning, it says in verse 8 of chapter 41, his mind was troubled. So he sent for the magicians and the wise men. And Pharaoh told him the dream, but nobody could interpret it. This was God's timing, because Joseph was the only one in all of Egypt that could tell Pharaoh the answers that he was really seeking. And he was ready to hear it. That word troubled means greatly distressed, disturbed, beyond anything normal. It's one of those walk in the floor type things where you beat your fist and you wonder, what in the world is going on? What's happening? He called for the wise men. They couldn't help him. They were supposed to be in touch with the gods of Egypt. So when the wise men couldn't help, that also meant that the gods of Egypt couldn't help. And Pharaoh was all of a sudden open. Our gods don't have the power to tell me what's going on. So now Pharaoh is open to God. His timing is so impeccable. He brought all of this about. And it was that moment that the butler says, I remember a guy when I was in prison. I had a dream, and the baker had a dream. And we didn't know what it meant. But we told this guy, and he told us what it meant. And it happened just like he said it would. And Pharaoh said, who is this guy? And he said, I think his name was Joseph. And Pharaoh says, send for him right away. Very similar to what happened in Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, I don't have time to read all of them. I read them last week. Go get last week's tape and you'll hear. Or you can pick up your Bible and read it for yourself. Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't tell him what the dream was. He says, not only do you have to give me the answer, you're going to have to give me what the dream was. And those guys were pulling their hair out. There's nobody that can do that. There's not a god in all of Babylon that knows what you're talking about. And somebody says, but Daniel can interpret dreams. So Nebuchadnezzar sent for Daniel. And Daniel walked in and he said, let me tell you what the dream was. And he told him what the dream was. This huge statue. It had a head of gold and the silver, and he named it. And Nebuchadnezzar says, this dude is tuned in to what's going on. And then he was told what it meant. God is in the business of keeping you informed. He will show you when nobody else knows what to do. If you'll wait upon him. It's that providential hand, that wisdom of God that he gets. And God sent this dream to Pharaoh right on time. He made all the wise men of Egypt, they were so dumbfounded, they couldn't even make something up. They're kind of like one of your kids when they got their hand in the cookie jar and you say, what are you doing? And I'm looking for one of my toys. You know, they couldn't even make something up. Their mind went blank. It just shows you that God is sovereign over all things, even the minds of a magician or an astrologer. It also tells us that God is greater than the kings of the earth. And he raises them up and he can let them back down. But it tells us something else also, and we covered this last week. There's providential deliverances. It was right at that moment when the dream came to Pharaoh that God said it's time for Joseph to be out of prison. I'm ready to put him in the palace. I'm going to bring not only Pharaoh's dream, but Joseph's dream to reality. God can do that. He can change your situation in the twinkle of an eye. And he's always right on time. He's never 1 second early or even a half a second late. He's always right on time. And he will not let you down. Whatever he's promised, he will bring to pass. He will watch over you. He'll walk with you. He will keep his hand on you. So that brings us to point two. Pharaoh. The first was the providence. And now, let's look at Pharaoh. Chapter 41, verses 15 through 36. I won't read all of those, but I'm going to read 15 through 18. But if you want the full story, go all the way through 36. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and nobody can interpret it, but I've heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." And one of the strangest things, Joseph said, "I cannot." I'm sure that that kind of set Pharaoh back on his heels. And he said, "Well, I heard you could. I've got you out of prison." And Joseph continued on, "But God." I always love that, "but God." And there always is for the Christian a "but God." You might be powerless, but God's not. And he will intervene in the right time, in the right way, in the right place. "But God will give Pharaoh the answer," he said. "The answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream I was standing by the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came these seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds." When Joseph professed, "I cannot," but God will give the answer he desires. Joseph was standing before Pharaoh, and he was listening to everything that the king was saying. And he begins to see in Pharaoh that dilemma that he is in. And then he begins to give the interpretation because God plants it in his mind. But before he does that, Joseph displays that true humility. And he points Pharaoh to the Lord. Don't ever take credit for what God is doing. Always give God the glory and the credit. Don't you take it. And Joseph made sure. He said, I can't do it, Pharaoh, but God will give you the interpretation and the answers that you're seeking. You would think that after all that Joseph had been through, that he might be a little bit bitter. We don't know how long he had stayed in prison, but it had been quite a number of years. We know that it had been two since Butler got out, but we don't know how long it was before that. It could have been 5, 10. We don't know for sure. But Joseph is not bitter, because we see Joseph seeking ways to bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord. Joseph is not upset by the delays that he's been through. He's not upset by the problems that he's had to face, being a slave and a prisoner. He immediately sees God's hand working in all of this, that providential hand of God that's working, and he's quick to point that out. Because for Joseph, everything was about God. It wasn't about him. It wasn't, "Look what I've had to suffer." No, he was grateful. "Look what God is doing." God is moving mightily. Joseph really doesn't matter as far as he's concerned. The battles that he's fought doesn't matter as far as he's concerned. Even Pharaoh doesn't really matter. All that matters is God, his glory, and his honor. When life gets complicated, and sometimes it does, and this is one of those spans when we don't know many answers. We don't know how to handle this virus, COVID-19. And we've seen the displays that have been going on, especially in our major cities, even here in our own state, and very near by in Charlotte. We don't really know what all the answers are. And things are more complicated than even they seem. And sometimes when we're in those situations, it just seems like God is not moving. God's not doing what he needs to do. God, why don't you take care of this? God, where are you in all of this? And we start wanting to direct him. It's easy to get upset and angry at God during these times. If we would ever grasp the truth, that truth that God is in charge of your life, God orders your days, and even bigger than that, God orders your steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. He tells you where to go. He shows you answers. And every step of the way, he's right there with you, ministering into you. If we could ever grasp that truth, it would change our entire perspective on God. He has placed some things there, some obstacles in our way. He has put some questions, caused things that put questions in our heart for his own purposes, so that our faith will be focused on him. And it always comes to a fine point. And that fine point is where God is. If you're putting your faith in anything else, it's going to fail you. You put your faith in God, and he will never let you down. We sang about it. He's not going to let you down. If we could grip the truth, it would make those waiting rooms of our lives a little easier to take, because we'll know that God is working and God is doing what's necessary. Therefore, we should always be in the business of lifting him up and magnifying him, because he is worthy of our praise, even during our darkest days, because he's not left you. When the night is holding on, God is holding on. And I can depend on that. We should always strive to point people to his name and to his reality. You see, Joseph's got a plan that came from God, and he's about to give it to Pharaoh, but he wants Pharaoh to understand where it came from. I can't give you the interpretation. I can't tell you what all it means, but God can. And here it goes. So Joseph is going to lay out his plan. He knows that the Lord is in this moment. He's seen that God is in this moment. So he does something that no other slave in all of the land of Egypt would dare to do. You see, there's a holy boldness that we can have when we're walking in God. But God will give it. So not only does he tell Pharaoh his dream and what's going to happen in Egypt, because that's what the dream was all about. There's going to be 7 good years. There's going to be 7 lean years. Let's use the good years, he says. And that was a part of his plan. And it was threefold. First, he recommends finding a wise man to put over the project that's going to be necessary. During those good years, we're going to lay stuff aside so that when the lean years come, everything is set in Egypt. And the whole world will have to come to Egypt to receive their help. The second part, we're going to gather 20% of all the food that's produced in those good years, those years of plenty. And thirdly, he recommends storing up the food to feed the population during the famine that's coming. Joseph, that plan is amazing. It is simple, but it's going to provide effectively the answer that's needed. Not only will the people be able to eat during the famine, but Egypt will even have corn to spare. And that puts a jingle in Pharaoh's pocket. Pharaoh liked that plan. We always like it when it puts a jingle in our pocket, don't we? But Joseph had already let him know, this plan didn't originate with me. The Lord put this in my heart. God used a slave to set policy for a kingdom. The strongest kingdom in the world at that time. It is truly amazing to watch God at work. Sometimes, even in my life, I have watched how God worked out what looked like a bowl of spaghetti suddenly just becomes one long string. No knots, no bumps, just perfect. God can do that. He can accomplish his purposes in this world in a moment, in a second, in a nanosecond. He can use some of the most unlikely candidates that you could ever imagine. I mean, God has used you. Imagine that. God has used me. God used donkeys. God used whales. He's used birds to bring food. All kinds of unlikely things God uses for his glory and to give answers and blessings to his people and work out situations. I mean, who but God would have ever chosen a Moses? I mean, a killer. Been in Egypt, and now he's on the run. And God says, I'm going to use you to set my people free. Doesn't make sense. Who but God would have used a David that was a sheep tender at a young age. But God said he's going to be a man after my own heart. Who but God would have used a Gideon who was cowering, hiding in a threshing floor so that the Midianites wouldn't find him? Who but God would have used a Saul of Tarsus, another murderer, a hater? And God said, no, I'm going to use you to write most of the New Testament and to take my word literally around the world for all of eternity. Only God. So along with being used, there comes promotion, and that's point three. In Genesis 41, 37 through 44, we hear these words. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all of his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man? One in whom is the Spirit of God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to be subject to your orders. Only with the respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Remember how his brothers laughed at him when he says all the stars of heaven bowed to him in his dream when he was about 17 years old? It made them hate him. He even said the moon and the sun and the stars bowed before him, talking about his mom and his dad. And now we see God bringing it to pass, just as he had said. Pharaoh, the mightiest man alive, in charge of the greatest nation on earth, the greatest power on earth. And he's saying to somebody that was a prisoner 2 hours before this, somebody that was a slave 2 hours before this, Pharaoh's saying, everybody's going to bow before you. And even me, in most respects, I will step back. When it comes to the throne, I'll be greater than you, but everything else is yours. So Joseph has a new position. Pharaoh likes his plan. He said, I can't find anybody as wise as you. It wasn't Joseph that was wise, it was God in Joseph. So in that instant of time, from a slave and a prisoner to second to Pharaoh in the mightiest empire of that day, he was promoted from being a prisoner from Potiphar's prison to ruling the entire nation. Sent to prison under false pretenses. Now he's given the title of Grand Vizier. In this position, he had all the rights and all the powers of the king or Pharaoh. In absence of the king, the Grand Vizier functioned in his capacity. No one but God could accomplish something as astounding as that. Pharaoh even recognized the hand of God on Joseph and gave God glory for what had taken place. So all of a sudden, all of this new power comes to Joseph. In verse 41 of Genesis 41, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put into your charge of the whole land of Egypt. And Joseph is given all the emblems of authority. He is placed in the second chariot right behind Pharaoh. Everywhere he goes, people are commanded to bow, to kneel before him out of respect and reverence. In one day, the slave has become a ruler. The prisoners moved out of the prison and taken up residence in a palace. How powerful and drastic a change in the life of Joseph. From eating swill and drinking filthy water to having servants bring you whatever you want. And it was all the work of God in his life. So Joseph has some new possessions. Verse 42, Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. When Pharaoh promoted Joseph, he gave him all the possessions that went along with that new position. A ring. The ring from Pharaoh's finger, his signet ring. It symbolized Joseph's authority to act as Pharaoh himself. He's given the authority to sign the king's name on any document he wants to. That's mind-blowing. But he gets a robe also. Robe. There's been a lot of robes in Joseph's life. He was given a robe by his father. That robe that his father gave him said that he was the head of the family. That coat of many colors. You are the head of the family now. He only possessed that robe for a short time. And suddenly it was stained with blood and handed back to his father with the news, Joseph is dead. He had a robe when he was in Potiphar's house. And then one day, Mrs. Potiphar reached out and grabbed it. And Joseph left that robe behind. That robe identified him as a slave. He only possessed that robe for a short amount of time. But now, he's got an expensive Egyptian linen robe. This robe identifies him as the ruler of the land. And Joseph held on to that robe for 80 years. That gold chain told everybody that he was a man to be respected and revered. So in giving Joseph those things, the Lord was allowing Joseph to see a partial fulfillment of the dreams that was given to him so many years before. dreams that people had laughed at. I don't know what kind of dreams God might have given you, but He can bring them to pass. Can you just imagine Joseph riding in his chariot for the first time, watching all the people as he approached go down on their knees and then bow with their face to the ground? God had taken this young man from the pit, and He had carried him all the way through the prison. And now God had brought him to the palace. But there's one other conversation that you need to think about. Can you imagine the conversation that was going on in Potiphar's house that afternoon? These times when we think that God has forgotten us. These times when we think that we're so alone. God's hands are moving. The hand of providence. The wheels of providence are turning. They hadn't run over us and left us as roadkill. They're escorting us into that place that God wants us to be. God's always right on time. When did Jesus come to His disciples in the storm? Right on time. When did Jesus speak to the dead man Lazarus? Right on time. Jesus spoke the universe into being, and He appointed everything to a schedule, and everything is right on time. Sir, He knows where you are. Lady, He knows your address. He can help you today. One thing that we need to understand, one day, God will say it's time. And that battle we've been fighting, it's going to be over. Until then, stay faithful. Until then, love God with all your heart and grow where He's planted you. Look for ways to glorify Him. And one day, it'll work out just like He said it would, because God is in control. He's not left anything to chance. He can do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you could ask or think. He has a plan for your life, and He'll bring it about. Would you bow your heads with me, both here and at home? I don't know where this message finds you today. You might be in need of some divine intervention. There's one place for you to go to look for it. And that's at the feet of Jesus. Maybe you're growing a little bit of impatient. You should come to Jesus and ask him what's going on. Maybe you're sitting watching this and you've been seeking the meaning of the things that you're facing in life. Maybe the loss of a job, or one of your children has gone awry, or maybe your mom or dad sick. I don't know what might be going on, but I know where you can get the answers, because he has every answer that you need. Maybe you're watching today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've never personally asked him to come into your heart and forgive your sins. You can today. You say, well, I've gone to church all my life. That won't get you anything. But my mom and dad, they're good Christians. That won't get you anything. You have to come to him. Ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sin and to receive you as one of his. And at that moment, he steps in and begins to direct your life. Come to him today. Get the help you need, the answers you desire. They're all in him. Father, I'm asking that your hand would reach into this audience and touch hearts and minds, touch lives, give answers, give hope. God, where there's been wrongs, make them right. Where there's been tragedy, give peace. Where there's been anger, give joy. And we'll give you all praise and all glory and all honor in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed hearing about Joseph as much as I've enjoyed studying and bringing it to you. I invite you back next week. It'll be our official opening day. May God's blessings be upon you. Enjoy his presence. See you next week.